What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
What is love?
Don't hurt me no more.
And no, I'm not talking about the song from the 90s. I'm talking about the most powerful experience a human can have. Is it the butterflies you get when you see a person? Is it the contentment you feel by being by their side? Is it the mutual respect you share? Compatibility? Companionship? Does it even have to be romantic? After years of trying to pinpoint a single, perfect definition, I got nothing. But the thing is about Bluffton, there are couples everywhere you turn. Whether it's the students who met and fell in love here on Bluffton's campus, or even the professors who did the same thing, it seems like everybody here has someone. Well, everyone but me. Clearly, they must know something about love that I don't. So I decided to do what any good communication student would do. I started my own personal investigation to seek out what love really is. From the studios of 96.1 The Wit, this is Jenna O'Brien with my investigation of love. I started my quest by thinking of all the couples I knew here on campus. Eventually, I found myself with senior Kenny Beaker to discuss his view on the matter. I started my interrogation by making sure he was qualified to speak on the matter. So, Kenny, tell me, are you currently in a relationship?
I am in a relationship, and I have been for almost a year and a half now.
Okay, so getting a little serious.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, where do you want to start?
I don't know. Tell me about her.
Well, it's Anna Cameron. She's on campus. She's a senior, music and psychology double major. We started dating not this September, but September of last year. Well, it's a nice, steady relationship. A lot of mutual respect. Definitely the best relationship I've ever been in. So.
Oh, that's so good to hear. I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so the whole point of this is, I gotta ask, did you meet her at Bluffton? I'm assuming yes.
Yes,
but,
yeah.
Okay, so that kind of leads into what I want to talk about. So from my perspective, being a independent single woman on campus, it seems like everyone on campus is doing their thing and they're in a relationship. Do you agree that there is a stigma that college students, particularly Bluffton college students, have this pressure to find the one?
I'm not sure it's a stigma. You definitely see it happening. You can observe it. There it is. I mean, Anna and I didn't feel forced to get into a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds incredibly cliche, but it just kind of happened to us. We really just started talking and went out a couple times, went for walks around Bluffton, and it just went from there. This started in the spring, and we kept talking over the summer and got back in the fall, and we decided to make a go of it. So, I mean, it wasn't like a, oh my gosh, we need to be in a relationship kind of thing for either of us. You know, ring by spring is just obnoxious. It's not a thing. It is a thing for some people, but it's a person-to-person basis. It's not a rule by any means.
Okay, so you beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you about ring by spring, but why do you not like ring by spring? What is it for you that...
Well, I mean, I don't have anything against people that do it, because I have many good friends that have done it, are doing it, whatever you want to say. And like I said previously, I think it's just a person-to-person basis thing. No one by any means should be pressured to fill this sort of societal standard that is frankly very archaic. I mean, why is ring by spring a thing? Well, it's because you have women coming to Bluffton College back in the day and getting their MRS degree, and oh, you have to be married by spring because that's absolutely more important than the degree you actually came here for. So, and obviously, hopefully we're beyond that to a point right now, to women are just as independent learners and educated people as men are, and marital status doesn't have to be an indicator of success of a university education.
Okay, Kenny, next question. Soulmates, do you believe in them?
No, I don't. I don't really fall on either of the, I don't know, more largely accepted fantastical understandings of love, I guess, that at least the ones that I encounter.
Right.
Be it on one end, there's a soulmate, there's one person out there that the universe or God or whatever higher power has ordained for you to meet this one person. And then on the other end, you know, it's kind of the void, and, you know, relationships are meaningless and there can never be true human connection. Like, you know, there's a spectrum there. And I guess I find myself in the middle that no, there isn't like a soulmate out there for anyone. Mm-hmm. But it's simply there are a number of people that would work for you individually, and that it's a matter of finding people that you can live with. Finding people that have attributes and qualities that mix well and don't necessarily align with your own, but mix well with your own, that lead to healthy human interaction. And that's the basis of what good human relationships should be, not some pie-in-the-sky ideal.
So, since you believe there's many people out there who could be the one, how do you actually know when you are in love?
It's a difficult question, because on one level, I think it changes from person to person.
Just think like classic Hollywood, like...
Yeah. You know, it's classic Hollywood. When the film started rolling, that's when I knew I was in love.
Yeah. And by the time the credits came, I knew.
I knew.
I knew I had to keep her in my life.
Exactly. Now, there's a comedian, Mike Birbiglia, that made a joke that I won't repeat here exactly. But it was basically all romantic comedies are... There's a woman, and then there's a man that comes along and is snarky and rude, and like more so than what would be normally acceptable. And then she's like, I love him. I'm going to be married to him in about an hour.
Oh, sad thing is that's accurately
and then
true.
People consider, and then let's go communication on this in media. Make Zachary Walton proud. Like, then people conceive of their own lives in that way. And I think it's a cascading effect of people will see all these glorified relationships that aren't realistic in any way, shape, or form. But that's all we know, especially if you're from a parentage that maybe your parents were divorced or it just wasn't a great relationship that you witnessed growing up. You don't really have an example of what really good love is, other than, you know, the Titanic or something.
Oh, no!
Which is a terrible example, but that's something people watched. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, yeah, just fly-by-night craziness. That's what love is. And then everyone dies. That's what makes good love, obviously.
Apparently. That's what I've been missing out on.
But, yeah, and it's dangerous and not healthy.
Kind of wrapping everything you just said up, I think that kind of goes back to the whole expectation that we have as college students. Like, mm-hmm. We witnessed our grandparents and our parents finding and meeting the one in college,
yeah.
And seeing them be happily married.
Mm-hmm. It's the interesting thing that I think, if you do want to talk about differences between millennials and older generations, I think it's come to the forefront a lot more in our generation that our parents are by no means perfect. And even looking back at our grandparents, because we have new perspectives on domestic life, that our grandparents didn't have perfect relationships either. So like this whole notion of coming to college and finding the one for the past 60 years has been a flawed project from the get-go. I mean, what is marriage really in society? It's a legal step. Like, you are taking a legal step in the system of law and saying, under the eyes of the government, we are making this a thing. In order to break this, we need to go back into the legal system to change this. I mean, it's a massive step that really isn't very romantic.
Yes. And that's the thing. Like, when I tell people, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to get married. They're like, Jenna, once you find the person, you'll get married. I'm like, but no. Like, the only difference is like your last name changes.
Well, you don't have to do that.
Well, that's the thing. I wouldn't change my last name. Yeah. I like it too much.
Yeah. Why would? Yeah, I don't need to do that.
No. I don't know. I just...
No, you know why you get married, Jenna? You get married for tax purposes. That's why you get married.
You get married. So that way, when you go to apply for financial aid, they're like, oh...
Oh, you're married.
You're married. You get more money now.
That's the honest answer. That's why you get married.
Honestly. So anybody listening, you want to get married real quick, hit me up. I still got one more year of financial aid to do. And all jokes aside, what Kenny had to say was very insightful and actually answered a lot of the questions I had. But for the sake of my investigation, I decided that I needed to talk to someone else. And who better to ask than my own personal advisor, both for academics and my personal life, Marifanna Profro. So Marifanna, I have to ask, what does love mean to you?
What is love? Wow, way to start me out with like an easy question, Jenna. Man. I could go so many directions with this. So on the big meta level, I feel like love is the underlying current that moves through all of creation and universe and is what binds us together as humans. So I feel like it's that big thing, but I also like on a practical interpersonal level, which is what I think you're looking for, maybe, love is, I think it's not so much an emotion as it is a way of being in the world and a way of interacting. And it has to do with what we do and how we do rather than feel.
You know, it's interesting. You and Kenny both gave very different answers. Part of me wonders if that's just because you guys are in two different stages of your life, which that actually brings me to my next question. Do you think that older millennials and younger millennials have a different definition and idea of what love actually is?
How do millennials, maybe older millennials like me, do we view love differently than younger millennials who maybe are your peers here in college now? I don't think so. I think that how we view love is maybe developmental. So I think the way that I viewed love when I was in college is probably very similar to how students today view love. I saw it as this desirable thing. I thought it was an easy thing that you did. I took it for granted. I thought that it was a way to define, it was something that others gave to me or that I gave to others, and that it wasn't necessarily, it was never associated with me internally. And kind of as I have grown up, so to speak, even though I'm still a millennial and baby boomers and the great generation might still look at me as a baby, I've grown to see love in a much deeper way that I've learned that I cannot fully love others until I fully love myself.
Having heard that from Marifana, it really opened up my eyes. Maybe what I need to look for isn't love in another person, but love in myself. But the feeling of self-love sometimes isn't always enough, especially when we have this pressure put on us that now, more than ever, we need to find the one. With that being said, do you think current students face this pressure on campus?
Yes. I feel like it is this whole manufactured falsehood of our society that, like, we have to be desirable to primarily the opposite gender or opposite sex, even though that's not the case, right? But to produce this kind of yearning in us is profitable for corporate America. Now you're getting into the Marifana conspiracy side a bit, but it's true, right? Like all of these movies that we see, it's about finding love and it's the one who was there all along. And oh my gosh, what if I don't get married and have my babies by the time I'm 25? My body will never bounce back. Hogwash. Right. So it's all there. And I think a big piece of it is that, so I feel like there's this manufactured piece of it, but at the same time, there is this, it is intrinsic in us all, this desire to be loved, right? Like we have food, we need water, we need shelter, but we need to be loved. That's another, like it's necessary for survival. And I feel like in your 20s, what you want is to belong, and we often associate that with love, and we feel like if I have a partner in a marriage, then I will belong somewhere, and I'll finally have my space, and I'll be safe, and it'll be secure, and happily ever after. And that's, it's simply not the case. Like, marriage is hard, especially when you marry someone before you know who you are.
And when she says this, she's speaking from personal experience.
I met my husband when I was 19. I was a sophomore in college. Actually, we met when I was 18 and we started dating when I was 19. So we were babies, little babies. And we're still married and I love him.
But just because she met her husband at college doesn't mean anything. She still has some reservations on the whole ring by spring idea.
This whole idea of ring by spring, I think that it really, like I could talk forever about how I feel like it is this evidence of kind of this patriarchal society that tells women we need a protector and we need this or that. And partnership is great. It's wonderful. I'm glad I married my husband, but we dated for 5 years, like before we actually got married. So this whole idea of ring by spring, like sometimes I'm just like, I roll my eyes at it, right? Because I feel like for me, I want our students, I want each of you listening. I want you to know who you are and I want you to find your own path. And recognize that your value is not wrapped up in whether you have a spouse. Like, it's just not the case. And also, like, there are so many other fish in the sea, y'all. Like, Bluffton is a little pond. It's a beautiful pond. There are many lovely fish here. But don't settle. I think that's the biggest thing, is that I want people to not settle. And so sometimes when I hear Rink by Spring, I want to like sometimes take someone aside and be like, okay, are you all right? Now, like let's get to a pep talk here. Like, right. Okay. You are okay. Like you're going to live alone for like a while, right? You don't have to do this. And, but I don't want to be like preachy, but it definitely is unsettling to me, the idea of Ring by Spring as a piece of our culture, right? Mm-hmm. Because like the roots are the idea that we come to college to find a husband or a wife. As a professor, I want my students to come here because they are curious and they want to learn and they want to find their own path in the world. Maybe that involves finding your bae. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. But I think another piece of why I am averse or kind of cringe when I hear Ring by Spring, it's that I feel like I worry about the effect it has on our other students, right? There is a message there that you're not as valuable. You're not as loved. You're not lovable. You're not desirable. You don't have a ring, girl. You better lock him down. Like, that's just sad, right? Like, there is great value in never being married. There's great value in marrying in your 60s, right? I worry also about those students who aren't there and what that does to their self-esteem. It's okay if that's you right now. You are lovable as you are. Don't worry. Don't worry.
So the message of the day is self-love is the best love. Would you agree with that?
Self-love is the best love. Maybe. I don't know if I would say the best love. I think it might be the first.
The first love. I like that.
Or a foundational love, right? Because because what will happen is if you're not, again, every night before bed, Atticus, you're lovable as you are, buddy. You should never have to change for someone to love you or be your friend. He's six. We're working ahead, y'all. But yeah, it's this idea, I think, of authenticity. And I feel like that is something we all yearn for, especially millennials, even me, grandma millennial, you baby millennials, right? Adolescent millennials, I don't know. But that authenticity is there. And you can't have a truly trusting relationship. So here you go. Brené Brown, amazing social scientist working out of the University of Houston. She talks about vulnerability and our willingness to be seen as a crucial element of having really loving relationships. And in that space of courage, when we feel that, that's when we let someone else see us, right? And really know who we are. You've got to really know and trust that you are okay before you can go into that space, right? Like, I'm not going to let you see my warts and dirty things if I think that you're not going to love me. And if I'm with a partner with whom I can't be that way, like self-actualization is not a thing. It's just not going to happen. Or at least it's not going to happen with significant pain. And that's not something I would wish on anyone.
That was very insightful and actually really helpful. So before I let you leave, do you have any advice for current students?
So it may not always be the best. That's my disclaimer, everybody. So my advice for students who don't have a significant other or who feel somewhat lonely or who are feeling left out of this experience, it gets better. Hang in there. Know that you are lovable as you are. And just because no goober in your gen ed class has recognized that yet, like, that's okay. That has no effect on your value. And on a practical level, I think part of it would be start by loving yourself, right? Find things to celebrate in you, because the more that you know and love yourself, the better prepared you will be to be a good partner for someone in the future. For those of you who are in a relationship, you got that little happy feeling in your tummy and you're excited and you can't stop thinking about someone, or you think you've found the one, my advice actually isn't that different. Love yourself. Do some time getting to know who you are and recognize that your self-worth in this world is not contingent upon the other person liking you. There are many other people in this world. If you're dating a jerk, right? Trust me, someone else is going to come around who's better. If you are uncertain or if you feel like you are having to change who you are, that's a red flag, y'all. Like, stop. You don't need to change for someone to love you, because what will ultimately happen is that you will end up not liking the person you've become, and it'll resentment will fester in that relationship, and you'll feel like you're leading this lie of a life. And I don't think you want that either. And for those of you who do have the real deal, like, that's a possibility. Embrace it. Love it. Don't be a jerk to the people who aren't feeling the same thing right now, right? And know and love yourself. You can't be a good partner unless you bring your best self to the table. And you can't do that unless you know you are lovable and are secure in your own self.
And this is where my investigation ends. After reviewing both Kenny's and Mayor Fana's interrogations, I realized that trying to solve this complex case in just one podcast isn't doable. And for that reason, this case will remain unsolved. For more stories and podcasts just like this one, visit bluffedandwit.com and subscribe to receive emails with all of our latest content. From the studios of 96.1 The Wit, this has been Jenna O'Brien.